You're listening to Confronting Christianity, a podcast of Training the Church.
I don't love wrestling like you do, but imagine that sort of move where the big beefy wrestler comes in and just smashes the poor little scrawny atheist to the ground and everyone cheers, you know.
And what happens if we don't agree on something? What are we going to do? Are
you a heretic and I'm ending the show. Even if the other person is profoundly wrong.
Yes, preach.
I will learn from hearing how they articulate not just what they believe, but why they believe it.
This is Kyle Worley. I'm joined by my co-host, Rebecca McLaughlin.
Oh gosh, you're trying so hard.
Well, okay, so I want to be fully transparent to the audience. About a month ago, we sat down to record what would be the first episode of Confronting Christianity, and we had some technical problems. So we have actually recorded the intro you're hearing right now a few times. But in the course of that episode, or right before we jumped on, Rebecca told me, Kyle, you have said my name before, and you've said it as McLaughlin, but it's not McLaughlin, it's McLaughlin. Am I saying it right this time?
You are now, but you did this weird Mick thing.
Oh, no.
Just a minute ago.
Wait, what?
You went Mick? Rebecca McLaughlin.
Like McDonald's.
A whole new breed. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Rebecca McLaughlin.
That's it. Well done.
Okay, but it looks like laugh in the middle of your name. So why is the GH not producing that sound that I'm used to?
Why does language work how it works?
Well,
we could have a whole
enough.
Episode on that.
We could, and this is not that episode, is what you're trying to say.
This is not that.
Hey, are we really doing this? Are we really doing a podcast?
We are, which is funny because I turned you down to begin with, but now
yes,
we
you
are.
Did. You did. Do you want to tell the story of that? How did we get here? Because it wasn't like it was an immediate yes from you. It was actually...
Yeah, it was more like a Jane Austen novel where initially things aren't looking good and then they work out in the end. You emailed me about a year ago, I want to say, and said, hey, would you be interested in starting a podcast? I said, no. Like everyone and his dog has a podcast and I have no desire to start a thing and hear the sound of my own voice, blah, blah, blah. And then I think about 6 months later... You emailed me and said, hey, would you be interested in starting a podcast with me? Mm. And I thought, you know, that sounds much more appealing because I love what you and Jen and JT have done with Knowing Faith. And I think the conversational element between you guys is a lot of what makes it so great. Mm. So I thought, that feels like a much more appealing proposition because I do really care about a lot of things. And I love talking about them with people I respect. So I think it's going to be fun.
I think it is going to be fun. I'm actually counting on it being fun. But, you know, it's funny because just to introduce myself here, so we probably should introduce ourselves as the first episode. My name is Kyle Worley. I serve as a pastor in Texas. I run a podcast called Knowing Faith. And now I run a podcast with Rebecca called Confronting Christianity. I love to read. I unironically love professional wrestling. I did you know this about me?
I didn't, and I'm having to rethink our whole relationship now.
Without any irony, it's not like a gimmick. I actually really enjoy it, but that's not the most important thing. I also love talking through big ideas with people who agree with me or don't agree with me, or just skeptical people who have good questions. And so whenever I was thinking about, man, I really want a podcast where I can do that, there was only one name on the list. And it was Rebecca's name. Because I read Rebecca's book. I'll let her introduce herself here in a minute. But I read Rebecca's book when it came out. And I was actually working with JT at the time. We were building out the training program and some other stuff. And I read it and I finished it in my office. And his office was like, just like a door down. So I just like came out of my office. I held the book up and I said, you know how so many like apologetics books are bad? Imagine if there was a really good one. And he was like, well, that's hard for me to believe. And I was like, I know this is that book. And I immediately was like, we have got to, like, we need to watch this person, because this person is writing about issues that matter in a way that a whole genre, in my opinion, has missed, and with a tone that we felt like was desperately needed. And so at that point, I was like, I got Rebecca on the horizon. And then when Knowing Faith started to grow and we had the opportunity to start launching other podcasts like the Family Discipleship Podcast, which we love, and I thought about how can we continue to expand this, I was like, we've got to get Rebecca. And I could not believe somebody had not already wined and dined you into a podcast. And it took two emails, not one, but I am so glad that we're here. So why don't you introduce yourself for the audience? Somebody might be coming because they heard about it on Knowing Faith. Maybe they're familiar with you. Maybe they're not as familiar with your writing and your work. Who are you? Why are you here?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I ask myself that question every day. I come from the UK, which those with a discerning ear for accents may have deduced already from my dulcet tones. Mm-hmm. And I'd always planned, honestly, I'd planned to live my whole life out in the UK serving Jesus there, because the UK is a relatively gospel poor country compared to the US. But then I married a guy from Oklahoma and he really wanted to move back to America. So that's part of why I'm here locationally. I now live in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I was raised in what I would describe as a complicatedly Christian home. So unlike my husband, who was raised in a sort of solid evangelical home where they went to Bible teaching churches every week and VBS in the summer, I was raised in a family where there was sort of a whole Catholic stream and a whole sort of Church of England stream, and a range in my broader family of people who went to church because it was kind of what you did culturally, versus people who actually believed anything, versus people who didn't go to church at all. So there was a whole sort of mix of stuff going on. And early in my life, I remember at least from age 9 onwards, feeling not only convinced that Jesus was the only person I could truly rely on, who couldn't just be, you know, gone tomorrow, but that also if I did believe in Jesus, then this was something that I needed to bring into conversation with friends. That this couldn't be a private faith. Yeah. It was nothing. My Christian faith is deeply personal, but it can't be private, because following Jesus means proclaiming that he is Lord to those around us, and praying and pleading with friends to put their trust in him. So from at least age 9, I was very convinced of that. And I was in educational environments sort of all growing up, where I was typically the only Christian in the classroom, and everyone else was very smart and had very good reasons for not even considering Christianity. Hmm. When I say good reasons, maybe, you know, they thought that Christians were racist, or maybe they felt passionately that Christian sexual ethics was actually immoral, or maybe they thought the idea that there could be one true faith and other religious beliefs were actually wrong and false was just a kind of white Western imperialist way of looking at the world and not really understanding. So when I say good reasons, I mean reasons where you can think, you know, I can really see why somebody would think that actually, or maybe that science has disproved Christianity. And I entered into conversation with friends where I was trying to say, you know, hey, I see your reasons. I see that they're not because you're stupid or, you know, morally foolish. At some basic level, you know, I see you're attempting to be quite a good person, and that your ethics are actually driving you in this conversation. But here's why I think that Jesus satisfies your deep desire for justice more than any other belief system. Here's why I actually think that Christianity lies at the foundations of science. Here's why I think that the reality that Jesus is Lord of all people, regardless of their tribe or tongue or nation, is actually the most profoundly non-imperialistic, non-culturally imperialistic way to look at the world. So just all these kinds of things where I was working out in conversation with friends. And I ended up, you know, after studying Shakespeare for a long time, I ended up going to seminary to just learn more sort of theologically myself, and to have more training in order to be able to speak of Jesus in different contexts. Spent nearly 10 years over here working with Christian professors at leading secular universities whose faith was shaping not only their lives, but also their research. And so my book, Confronting Christianity, kind of pulled together the testimonies and research of many brothers and sisters who I'd had the privilege of getting to know at the top of the academy in all sorts of different fields, and try to make that accessible to folks who weren't having those conversations every day. That's how I started writing Confronting Christianity. I wrote it when I was pregnant with my third child, and that was a weird experience. it's been a privilege since to just continue to have these kinds of conversations, not least with you.
And the name of the show comes from the name of Rebecca's book, which is wonderful, and you should check it out if you've missed it. We came up with a tagline whenever you and I were working early on and kind of concepting around what we really wanted the show to be. Like, why were we doing this? Because it's not because you and I don't have other things going on. Like, we're both parents, we're spouses, we're friends, we're members of a local church, we're trying to serve in the kingdom, we've got other creative projects we're working on. So it wasn't like you and I were like, I've watched everything on Netflix, and now it's time to start a podcast. And it wasn't because there aren't podcasts. It's not like we're entering into a market that's like not saturated. It is that. So why this podcast? Well, when we were thinking about it, we came up with this tagline: hard questions faithfully explored. Why that? Why hard questions? What are we trying to say when we say hard questions faithfully explored? Why not hard questions confidently answered, or easy questions decisively slam dunked?
Right.
Why hard questions faithfully explored?
Gosh, I think there has been something of a history among those who would call themselves apologists or folks who were trying to do the work of answering difficult questions that our colleagues, friends, folks in our neighborhood might have. There's been a little bit of a posture of the I'm right and you're wrong, and actually I am going to trivialize your question. And I'm going to have almost I don't love wrestling like you do, but imagine that sort of move where the big beefy wrestler comes in and just smashes the poor little scrawny atheist to the ground and everyone cheers, you know, this sort of victory.
I'm very much tracking with your analogy right now. We might have lost the audience, but you've got me right now.
Well, that's great. it seems to me, and this isn't a tactic, this is just an attempt to read the scriptures and apply them. It seems to me that we as Christians need to enter these conversations with humility. Peter says that we must always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have, but that we must do so with gentleness and respect. And those two qualities aren't always seen in public conversations between, you know, Christians and atheists around questions of science or sexuality or whatever. We're not always marked by gentleness and respect. And I think often we as Christians confuse the fact that we are pointing people to the perfect Savior who truly is the way, the truth, and the life, the absolute truth and standing on the highest moral high ground we could imagine. We confuse that with thinking that we kind of belong on that moral high ground or on that intellectual high ground. When in fact, if we understand the gospel, we start on the lowest possible ground. And if we're going to share the gospel with somebody, I think we need to have more the posture that Paul had when he said, this is a trustworthy saying, worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost.
Yes.
So I think that part of the faithfully explored is an acknowledgement that you and I, Kyle Woolley and Rebecca McLaughlin, we do not have all the answers.
Yep.
We are not the smartest show in town. We are not the kind of moral, champions in any of these conversations. We're actually kind of scrawny, little, flimsy folks of little faith. I love how Jesus calls his disciples that, you know, you have little faith. Yep. That's us. And we're trying to share our faith in Jesus and connect his truth with all the big questions that folks around us will legitimately have, and to do so in a humble way.
Ever since Jesus' female followers were the first to witness his resurrection,
women have been sharing the message of Jesus with those who have never heard it. In his new book, 10 Women Who Changed the World, Seminary President Daniel L. Akin tells the stories of 10 women in particular who were called by God to serve as missionaries all across the world. As I've studied missions and read missionary biographies over my lifetime, Akin writes, I've been amazed and inspired by the large number of women who left home, families, comfort and safety in obedience to Jesus and his command to go to the nations with his gospel. Their number is far greater than most realize. You can find out about a handful of these stories in 10 Women Who Changed the World, which is available wherever books are sold.
And I think that, gosh, yes, that is so well said. And I think that one of the goals I was reading, I've been in college, like many young Christian men, I got on like a big C.S. Lewis bender. Like I was just like, I read everything that I could get my hands on by C.S. Lewis. And over the last few years, I've kind of been returning to Lewis after 5 or 6 years of probably not really engaging him outside of quotes and other books. And so I've been working my way through kind of the C.S. Lewis canon again. And one of the things that I was surprised by now, which probably says more about when I engage C.S. Lewis than about the scope of his work and really the tone of his work, I remember C.S. Lewis as somebody who was this great apologist who communicated with such kind of a compelling posture that it struck me in a very direct way. Now, as I'm rereading him with kind of some life behind me, I find the tone there is more gentle. I was reading A Grief Observed. I was rereading A Grief Observed. And he says this, which I just was like, man, that it's not exactly what we're saying here, but it's very connected and I think lies at the heart, because for a Christian to engage in meaningful exploration of questions begins with an honest acknowledgement that there are many times that we bring our questions to God and we sit there in faith and in waiting, but not with clear answers. And we see this all throughout the course of Scripture with the way that God leads his people is not in spite of faith, but it's through faith. So it's not like, let me give you all the answers and then you'll go. It's often, no, I'm telling you to go, trust me. Lewis says this, when I lay these questions before God, I get no answer, but rather a special sort of no answer. It's not the locked door. It is more like a silent, certainly not uncompassionate gaze, as though he shook his head, not in refusal, but waving the question, as if to say, peace, child, you don't understand. And as I was thinking through this, some of the hardest questions that present themselves in life, not merely the questions that occupy like the fun coffee shop conceptual conversation, you know, when, you know, the sun is out and there's no rain in the sky and your life is going well and you can kind of pontificate. There's value in those conversations and that kind of consideration. But oftentimes, the deepest questions of our life and heart are not questions that have ready, just soft, kind of microwavable answers. They require a sense of sitting before God in reflection and prayerful consideration and waiting, and often receive a kind of no answer, a kind of a waiting for the Lord to prepare us to receive that which he has for us, which may not be until the new heavens. So when we thought about hard questions faithfully explored, we wanted to acknowledge, hey, we don't want to deal or to trivialize what are really genuine questions. And we're going to explore what we think are some tough questions. And at the Faithfully Explored wasn't like, we don't want you coming to this podcast thinking what you'll get every time you tune in is by the end of an episode, you'll go, great, question answered decisively. Now I can go out and kind of, I've downloaded the answer. Now I can go out and just kind of parrot the answer, but more of a way of learning. It's almost in some ways like a, I hope that people listen to the show and not necessarily come away with like a whole set or like a bank of this is how I'd respond to all these questions, but more of kind of imbibing a culture of what does it look like to think thoughtfully and to think Christianly about a whole range of matters.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, to be clear and to speak for both of us, I hope, it's not that we don't think that there is real rugged truth to be found or Absolutely. That we are unsure on some very serious and even controversial questions. I'll give an example from my own life, which I know we'll talk about more in later episodes, but as long as I can remember, I've been a Christian. As long as I can remember, I've been attracted to other women. That's been, you know, a big piece of my own experience. And the more that I have searched the scriptures on the question of same-sex sexuality, the more it's been very clear to me that the Bible is actually quite clear on this question. It's not a, well, if we look at the Bible from this particular angle, you know, hold it up to the light from, you know, 4 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, you'll be able to see a different, in a different way and see that, oh, actually the Bible does affirm same-sex marriage for Christians. It's very clear to me that it doesn't. And I've known that for a long time. But as I've sat with that knowledge and that truth, and as I've searched the scriptures, and as I've lived my own life with that conviction, I progressively come to understand more of the goodness of what God says and how it's not just a sort of arbitrary rule that he happened to impose, but how it really is connected to the deep things of the gospel and the deep things of Christian community. So I guess that's just to clarify that there are things that the Bible is actually very clear about. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus really is the Lord of all, not just Christianity is one great option among other possible ones. And I think sometimes, especially in the UK, it's typically folks who don't believe that Jesus is Lord of all, who don't have a very high view of scripture, who are the ones saying, well, you know, we need to make space for the fact that we don't always feel like we have all the answers.
Yep.
So I think at least in the UK, we evangelicals are sort of almost overcorrected for that to say, because the Bible is clear on something, we're going to make it sound like it's just sort of easy and simple.
I agree 100%. I think, you know, I often will tell people, listen, like when we're exploring questions, there's this like there's this dance that you're doing between conviction and curiosity. And in my mind, convictional is being certain about certain things. It's not being certain about everything. Convictional is being certain about certain things. For example, like you said, the things that are contained in the creeds, it's like, well, yep, I feel pretty certain that God is triune. And I'm happy to enter into conversations about who God is that maybe where somebody would disagree, that God is the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, the God of Christian tradition, and it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But like, that's not an area that I'm not exploring that curiously. Like, I wonder what the answer to who is God. It's like, no, I believe God has told me who he is, and I stand on that truth. At the same time, it doesn't mean we're certain about everything. And that's where there's the invitation of curiosity, of being able to enter in and saying, on the foundation, the stable foundation of what I know to be true, because God has told it to me in his word and in his son Jesus and the history of his people, I can now live with a kind of curiosity around things I don't know. Like, for example, I'm reading a lot right now on the kind of the wiring of the brain. So I'm reading a lot of like neurologists and psychologists trying to understand a little bit how chemicals affect the brain. I don't know very much about this at all. If I was on a podcast right now where somebody was grilling me about how our brains work, I'd have to say, you know what? I'd love to ask you some questions. I don't have a lot of certainty about how the brain works. I know I have one. I think that most of the time it is working. We will certainly find opportunities to find when it's not working in the course of this show. But I do think that there are some areas where you just express curiosity and you just go, yeah, I don't know. And I don't know that I must know now. And I would love to learn more. And to put that in contrast with the measuring stick of God's word, his son Jesus, and the history of the church. So I'm excited about that. I really am, because I have a lot to learn here. I do.
Right. It's interesting you mentioned the history of the church at the end there. And one thing that's becoming more and more apparent to me is that there are very important lessons that we can learn from the history of the church. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if your theological conclusions today, sitting down in your office or your study or your bedroom, put you in a position that's completely against what Christians have believed for the last 2,000 years, most likely you're wrong. Like, I think there's a strength that we can draw from the history of Christian conviction and how the majority of Christians have read the scriptures throughout the ages. At the same time, I think part of what's really painful for a lot of Christians today, and in particular for a lot of white evangelicals, which I think both you and I, Kyle, are, you know, we're evidently white, and I believe we both identify as evangelical.
Sure.
Part of what's making life hard right now is this desire to defend the record of our particular Christian tribe, mm-hmm. when in fact there have been meaningful, serious, ongoing sinful practices within our tribe. I think of not long ago, I had posted something about race and justice on Instagram or Twitter or one of the things, and somebody commented, "How dare you slander the bride of Christ by saying that that white Christians have been complicit in horrific acts of racism through the years?" And I'm thinking, okay, I think I see where this person might be coming from. Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, if we look even at the New Testament epistles written to the first churches, we see a whole lot of sin happening in the bride of Christ. Yeah. If we're grounding our understanding of the world right now on some belief that the bride of Christ, which usually frankly means our own particular Christian tribe, has been, if not perfect, at least close to perfect, and that it's all those pagans out there who've done all the wrong, and we Christians have been the heroes throughout history, we're going to come to some terrible, unbiblical theological conclusions, and we're going to fail to repent and believe in the ways that we need to repent and believe today. So I think it's that holding to both the good things that we can derive from Christian tradition and learn from, and recognizing, do you know what, Christians have been sinful from the first, and that includes you and me, and that includes our family, that includes our local church, that includes the history of our particular Christian tribe.
Yep, that's exactly right. And while you and I share a lot in common, and that'll come out on this show, we're not the same. I think you can listen to our voices and realize that we've probably had some different experiences growing up. And so, yeah, I mean, we're not the same. In many ways, a lot of the podcasts that we launch on the Train the Church Network, a key value for us is brother-sister conversation, because we think that it's absolutely vital to doing theology well. And that's why whenever I was thinking about, man, who would be good to have as a conversation partner, I was like, well, I would love to do this with Rebecca, not just because of her insights, her experience, her education, her upbringing is different from mine. Where she lives in the life of the country is different from where I live. New England is certainly not Texas, though the internet is shrinking that gap quickly. But we have some differences, and I bet we're going to find some disagreements as well. What do you think?
Yeah, for example, I was baptized as a baby and I don't think it was wrong. So that's one place of disagreement. But yeah, I think that's important. I think as well, to go back to your love of wrestling.
Yes, let's keep
going. I'm excited to have these conversations with you, because I, for the last decade or so, have been kind of working, like I've been repping on my apologetics arm. Like mm-hmm. let's imagine that's my right arm. So I'm like... Mm-hmm. decently buff on the apologetic side, although with a bunch of weaknesses for sure. But like, that's kind of where I've been investing most of my time. When it comes to Bible teaching, that's actually been something I haven't done that as a day job. Yeah. So my sort of Bible teaching arm is not, you know, utterly flaccid, hopefully, but certainly not as beefed up as the other arm. My sense from you, I mean, you've been a pastor for how many years now? How many years have you been pastoring?
12 years.
You've been a pastor for 12 years. So your day job, amongst other things, has been teaching the scriptures in the local church. Like that's, mm-hmm. so if your scripture arm isn't pretty buff at this point, there's some serious problems. And I know that for sure that it is. But you've also been super interested in apologetics for a really long time. So I feel like if we were both in the wrestling ring, mm-hmm. we'd be sort of a funny pair in some sense, but between us, we probably have a lot of bases covered and we'll have a lot of interesting conversations, is my hope.
Yeah. And you know what, sister, I see you moving towards me redemptively with these analogies. I just want you to know, I feel really seen right now. I think we will be a good tag team. And what happens if we don't agree on something? What are we going to do? Are
you going to torch? And I'm ending this show.
And you're going to torch me on Twitter? You're just going to start
That's right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I anticipate that we will disagree as we explore some of these questions, and that we will learn from one another. And I think that's another kind of reason why we felt like this was a great opportunity, is that it's not just, hey, let's get brother and sister in Christ talking together about big questions. It's like, inevitably, as we explore big questions, because Rebecca and I are not the same, and because there is some real areas of certainty in the Christian tradition, and there are some areas of wisdom where it's less black and white and more gray, and some issues of mystery, there are going to be times where Rebecca and I disagree with each other. There are going to be times where we disagree with our guest. And we hope that that happens. And we hope that when we do that, we're able to, I don't know, model in some ways what we've tried to live out in our own personal lives and our public ministries, which is that there's a way to go about doing this that still honors the Lord, even when two people say, yeah, I just don't see it the same way. Yeah. And so if you're listening to this thinking, oh man, this is going to be some good comfort listening, and these two people will never make me feel like, you know, they're disagreeing with. No, we're going to probably have some times where we disagree, and we hope that as we do so, we'll disagree well, and that it will be fruitful conversation around it.
And I think part of disagreeing well, whether it's with a brother or a sister in Christ, or whether it's with a non-believer, is actually truly listening to what the other person's saying. Because it's so easy for us to cut each other off halfway and be like, yeah, I know what you're saying, and this is why you're wrong.
Yeah, and I'm on another podcast where I can say that it is a part of my lived experience almost weekly. So,
well, even if the other person is profoundly wrong.
Yes, preach.
I will learn from hearing how they articulate not just what they believe, but why they believe it.
Yeah.
What are the different streams that have flowed into their convictions on this question? And it will help me. May not change my mind about my position. Often it won't at all, but it'll actually help me then understand how they've come to that position, and for us to relate better in the midst of that, even if I'm calling them to repentance, actually. Yeah,
that's good. What are some of the things we'll explore on this podcast, Rebecca? Like, what are some of the things that we've been talking about wanting to talk through? What kind of questions will we be hitting?
Yeah, gosh, I'm such a flitter. I love all sorts of different things.
Did you say flitter?
Flitter, one who flits, like a little butterfly from flower to flower.
All right, cool. Yeah, I call myself a dabbler.
A dabbler.
But maybe I'll start trying out a flitter.
You keep dabbling and I'll keep flitting. So what do we want to talk about? I mean, I want to talk about all sorts of things. I want to talk about scripture. Both what the scriptures say, and also why we should, for example, think that the four New Testament biographies of Jesus are actually giving us authentic access to eyewitness testimony about Jesus. I want to talk about science. I want to talk about sexuality. I want to talk about race. I want to talk about truth. Like, is truth absolute or relative? I want to talk about community. I want to talk about justice. I want to talk about suffering. What do I not want to talk about is the question.
I know. I feel the same way about it. You know, some of the questions that we've lined out for this first season are like, how do we know anything? Which is kind of a question of truth and knowledge. Why does God care about who we sleep with? Are we wrong about Jesus? Don't Christians oppose diversity? Those kinds of things. And we hope to bring on guests that are friends of ours, people in our network, but also people who are either colleagues in other spaces or outside of our own specific tradition or niche. And we want to be able to talk with these folks through some of these questions. I mean, Rebecca and I are, I'm not an expert on anything at a credential level. Rebecca is an expert on one thing at a credential level, which is Shakespeare.
Which we're not going to talk about.
Although it did come up already in another episode we recorded with your friend. We got a Shakespeare nod already about the spelling. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I learned from Shakespeare is how not to spell.
Right, yes. Turns out. So we're going to explore a lot of different questions. And we hope that they will be really fruitful conversations, and we anticipate that they will. But we'll tell you right now, there are some things that we're going to be able to know for certain. And there are going to be other things where we're going to go, you know what? We're going to have to keep talking through that, keep chewing on that, and keep exploring that together. And we hope that you'll join us in exploring that. And so, this is what I would tell you. If you are in for some fun conversations that are going to ask some good questions with two people who are alike and different in meaningful ways, this is going to be a good home for you, a good show for you to tune into, and we hope that you'll enjoy it. I want to give you just some nods to where you can find us. You can find Confronting Christianity on Instagram and Twitter. You can leave a review on iTunes, and in your review, if you want to include a question that you want us to explore in a future episode, we will take that under consideration. You can find Rebecca on Twitter, where I have said before that she can be a spicy follow, but always insightful. And if you are paying attention, you will know that Rebecca has a book coming out called Confronting Jesus, and it releases, when this episode releases, that book will be releasing within 1 or 2 weeks of this episode. And you should absolutely check it out. If it's half as good as Confronting Christianity, it'll be worth double whatever you pay for it when you buy it. So go check out Confronting Jesus. Was that a good plug for your book?
I love it. Yeah.
I mean, I need to become like, I can be your hype man. You start bringing me to the conferences you speak at, and I'll come out to do your intro.
Excellent. Let's do it.
Can you put that in your rider, you think?
Okay.
Along with only green M&Ms. Is your rider pretty specific? Like, it's like Uber X, 5-star hotels, only green M&Ms. What's in your rider?
Oh my goodness. I care about very few things. I care about words and I care about people. I'm almost entirely inattentive to my surroundings. So if somebody puts me up in a fancy hotel, I'm like, well, there's a bed, which is good. And if there's free breakfast, I feel like the more you pay for a hotel, the less you actually get. Like,
that's a good 100% cheap hotel, yes.
You get free breakfast, you get free Wi-Fi, everything's included. You go to a swanky hotel and you're paying left and right for a whole lot of stuff. So I'm a cheap date when it comes to the things around the edges. Yeah, I care about people and words. And I also kind of care about pan au chocolat and Lindor chocolates. So
okay, well, hey, I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind for the Christmas basket. Hey, we hope you enjoy the discussion. On our next episode, we'll be talking about how do we know anything? Questions of truth and knowledge. We hope you enjoyed the discussion today. We'll look forward to your next episode. Grace and peace.